Longkesh Development. The newly appointed chairman of that development corporation, indeed, is Terence Branigan. Mr. Branigan, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. It's quite a task you're taking on here, along with the rest of your team. It's a team, the names don't instantly jump out at me. Duncan McCausland, a couple of others do. You're confident that this team can deliver?
Oh, very confident. I think the key thing here was to get a team with a breadth of experience, different experiences, and from different parts of our community, in order that we did get a good cross-section of thinking, of experience, of knowledge, and indeed of the community, and that for sure has been achieved.
Now, you have obviously a plan in your mind. What exactly is that plan?
Well, I think actually the strategy, the vision was outlined by our First and Deputy First Ministers, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness, in terms of creating economic growth for Northern Ireland through what is a massive site. I think people, a lot of people would not have an understanding of the sheer size and scale of that site. It's 347 acres. That's twice the size of Titanic Quarter and four times the size of what was the much vaunted site in London, Canary Wharf. So here we have a very significant site of real scale, and therefore an opportunity of creating something of real benefit, real value for all of the people across this region. And that's what we as a team, as a board, have been given as a task and are determined to deliver on.
Now, there are significant elements to the history of the site. One of them that I discovered relatively recently was the aviational history. I'm sure most people know about it, but when I had a conversation about 3 or 4 months ago on the radio programme with one of our contributors, I became aware of its association with the landings during the Second World War and before. And that's something that doesn't regularly spring to mind with a lot of observers.
I have to say that I would put my hands up and say that until I really became involved, I didn't understand the rich and varied history of that site. So it had obviously originally been agricultural land. It moved then in the Second World War, as you rightly pointed out, as an RAF station. Indeed, it was the RAF station that was there in defence of this region during the Second World War. We had the American Air Force there, we had American military there, and indeed we had Montgomery and Eisenhower landing there in order to review the troops and the Air Force. Then further on, it became a meteorological station. I always get that one wrong.
So do I sometimes, so do I.
It was, as you pointed, that we have the Ulster Aviation Society. There's some fantastic work done in the hangars there where we have some terrific aircraft, really interesting stuff, and it's one of Northern Ireland's hidden gems. Indeed, there was aircraft construction on that site by Shorts during the Second World War, where they built Stirling bombers. We had motor racing. It was the first airfield to be used for motor racing on this island. People like Paddy Hopkirk racing there. As I say, this has a rich and varied history, and we want to bring that kind of vibrancy, life, that breadth of character back to it.
It's the recent history, of course, that's going to prove the most difficult of all, and the presence of the prison hospital, the presence of the memory, I suppose, of the troubles that's associated with the Maze Longkesh. People say it won't be a shrine, but it's hard to see it being anything other than a shrine as we look to the agreements that are going forward.
Well, I think a couple of things there. In terms of this idea that it might become a shrine, I think both the First and Deputy First Ministers are determined that it should not be. And indeed, that was part of my brief. And I met them last week, and they were both at pains to reinforce to me that that was there, which they did not want to see this become a shrine. Now, if we look at the work that's going to be done on the Peace Building and Conflict Resolution Centre, that's the new building that we have a local design and architect company, McAdam, have had the foresight to invite Daniel Libeskind, one of the world's great architects and designers. And Daniel Libeskind from New York is actually responsible for the grand architect design of the reconstruction at Ground Zero. He was responsible for the Jewish Museum in Berlin, you know, some great and iconic buildings. And this man has real vision, but he is a powerhouse. He's a world-renowned and known architect. And indeed, I'm meeting Daniel at lunchtime today in order to discuss with him and get the vision from him as to how this might look. And Daniel has been in a number of meetings with all of the stakeholders, so everyone who's been involved in the past on that site, in order to get an understanding so we can create a peace-building and conflict resolution center that is worthy of that name, that is becomes world standard and becomes our standard bearer in terms of peace building and conflict resolution, so that we can have research and development on those issues on that site. We can have education, we can have training, and indeed we can become the clearinghouse around the world using our experience to help others through their conflict or indeed their peace building process. So this is something we can use for the future, not only for the future of our children here, but for other people around the world who suffer conflict. So for me, this is about looking forward. This is about using that site in that way. But I would like to point out, important as that is, and it is exceptionally important, nonetheless, that part of the site takes up less than 8% of the entire site. So it is an important part for us, but nonetheless, the real overriding issue here is about, particularly in these stark economic times, creating economic benefit and value for the whole of our community across this region. And that's what we're determined to do. This is a one-off opportunity. This is significant in size and scale. We must grasp it. We must have courage. And we must deliver value for the people of Northern Ireland. We on this board have been handed an awesome responsibility. And my colleagues and I are determined that we will deliver on it.
The conflict resolution centre, even though it is only 8% of it, will be for many people the stumbling block. Why would it not have been possible to have the conflict resolution centre on what many would describe as neutral ground?
Well, I have to say that was not obviously a decision to be taken by me or by the board. And indeed, my understanding was that was a cross-party decision, so not just by First and Deputy First, but that was a cross-party decision taken. That was something that we've been asked to deliver on. As I say, McAdam Design, which is a local company, have had that foresight to enlist the help of a world-renowned architect and designer, Daniel Libeskind. I'm pleased that is happening. I'm meeting Daniel today, as I say. I'm looking forward to seeing his ideas and sharing those with my colleagues on the board, and looking forward, therefore, to building something special that we can share with the rest of the world, but not just as a building, but in terms of our experience, and make something positive of that. But it isn't the only thing that's happening on that site, and I must emphasise that it is important, but nonetheless, it is a small part of the overall story of the site in terms of its history and the overall future of that site in terms of enriching Northern Ireland in the broadest possible sense.
It is a difficult task that everyone has to get it to where it needs to be without causing controversy. How important is it for its final deliverance, so to speak, that you are a member of the DUP?
I don't think that membership of a party is important at all. I have a great belief in life that those people I meet and have friendships with, those people I meet socially, those people I meet in business, I'm not concerned about what party they may be involved in or may support, or indeed those who have no political views whatsoever. What I'm concerned about when I meet people is what values in life they carry with them and what value they can bring to any enterprise. I'm absolutely certain that all of the people chosen to go on that board will add value wherever they come from, whatever their political views might be. I know that those people will join with me in a determination
to look after the best interests of the whole community within our region. That's what we've been asked to do. I will deliver on that, and I'm absolutely certain that my colleagues on the board will join me in that.
But is this not an example of Sinn Féin getting what Sinn Féin was looking for, and the DUP are delivering in this regard, and you as a DUP member are a safe pair of hands to deliver whatever the deal is with Sinn Féin?
I can tell you truthfully, none of that was ever mentioned to me or discussed with me. The only things that I have had discussion on with both First and Deputy First Minister is the responsibility for us as a board to deliver on the vision. So those things are for others. The politics of it are not for us. We must focus and concentrate on the responsibilities that we've been given and the authority that we have to take up to deliver on that. We've had, I have to say, that we've had tremendous support from the First and the Deputy First, a clarity of vision and absolute support behind that. And I have to tell you that the Office of First and Deputy First, the officials there, all of the people that have already been working on this site, and I have to tell you, significant progress has already been made. So congratulations to those who've carried the burden thus far, have delivered a site there that we can make something great from. And therefore, as I say, a lot of work already being done by officials and by OFM, DFM. And we're looking forward now to picking up the torch and carrying it forward.
Will it be difficult for you as a DUP member when the first hunger strike commemoration takes place there?
Well, for, as I say, again, I first and foremost, I'm the chairman of the Development Corporation. That's my role. And that's the role that I will carry out. And therefore, we will deliver, all of us on that board, against the brief that we've been given. We've undertaken to do that. And that's where our focus will be.
And finally, people are coming up with all sorts of suggestions here on the text in front of me. Will this group listen to public opinion?
Oh, crikey, yeah. And in fact, that's already been happening even before we've taken up the mantle. So a lot of work has been done by those responsible thus far in terms of ensuring that discussions, ongoing discussions take place with the local community, very, very, very important, with local representatives, with all the kind of stakeholders for that site. And indeed, we've had some more of that going on this week. When I go today to join with Daniel Leibskin, the architect, Daniel has spent a couple of days again listening to the views of all the stakeholders there. The people who have been responsible in an executive format so far have been garnering all of the kinds of views, and that will continue. That will be an important part of how we arrive at the best value and solutions for this region. It is talking to people. It is listening to our politicians. It is listening to our representatives. It is listening to our community, whether it be people in business or whether it be people who live in the proximity. It is talking to people like Lisburn Council, very, very important stakeholder there. It will be listening and talking to Royal Ulster Agricultural Society, who will be on the site. So it is taking those broad views into consideration when we're arriving at the overall plan of what can be delivered to ensure that we give value back to this region.
And finally, Terence Branigan, when do you think it will finally be delivered?
This is going to be a long-term project, something of that scale, 347 acres. Say, just think of something, Frank, that is twice the size of Titanic Quarter. This is a 20-year project, in my view. But you will see progress as we go. And indeed, next year, we will have the Balmoral Show there. So RUAS will bring the Balmoral Show. So you'll see fantastic activity there. That's going to happen in 2013. 2015, we'll have the delivery of the Peace Building Conflict Resolution Centre. But even during that time and past, we will be, this is a vast site with lots of opportunity for creating things in the interim. So I would like to see concerts. I would like to see sporting events. I would like to see vibrancy and life come to that site over the coming weeks, months and years, in order that we change people's perception, open people's eyes to what that site is really about in terms of its overall history, As I said earlier, the massive things that have happened on that site that of interest, and things like that you referred to earlier, the Ulster Aviation Society. I would urge people to go have a look at the hangar full of aircraft there. Fascinating stuff. Part of our great history here in terms of building aircraft, etc. So lots to look at over the coming weeks, months, and years. And as I say, then us over that 20-year period delivering something of real value to this region.
Terence Brannigan, thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you.
As the newly appointed chairman of the Maes Long Cash Development Corporation, Terence Brannigan, outlining his vision for the site, the Development Corporation has been tasked, of course, by the First and Deputy First Ministers to maximise the economic, historical and reconciliation potential of the